Okay. Chav Gimel Amid Beis 46 23 B1. Amid Abelazar 2 4 6 8 9 lines in the top of the page. The Gemara is in the middle of explaining the argument between Rav Meir and the Chachamim. Rav Meir holds that one litigant could disqualify the other one's witnesses, and the Chachamim hold that you can't. So that's the Rav Meir holds you can disqualify somebody else's witness. The Meir holds he could. So the Gemara says, well, what's the example? So the Gemara says, how could that be? How could somebody just disqualify somebody else's witnesses? So the Gemara answered a number of answers before a great shlokish. So how can such as he says, no, he disqualified one witness, not two, and so on. Amar Abulazar says, it's speaking like this. One litigant, together with another witness, wants to disqualify the witnesses. So it's not just the litigant himself. It's the litigant with another witness. So the Gemara asks, Kol Kamine, is the litigant believed? Negeba Edusu, he's partial. Of course he wants to disqualify the other guy's witness. Right? How could he do it? So Gemara answers, Omer v'acha b'reid Ravika, Ravacha, the son of Ravika said, Kagain shekor olav irr. It's speaking that the person was a bechlal, not for this particular case. He says he's never kosher. Like for instance, the Gemara is going to explain, but the Gemara says like this, it's not speaking when the litigant disqualifies the other guy's witness because he says, oh, yeah, he's a ganef. Because then obviously he's only disqualifying for this case, and he's biased. I mean, he's negeh bedover. Of course he wants to disqualify the other guy's witness. He's speaking, he's disqualifying generally. That means he's never a kosher witness. For instance, irud demai. If you're saying that he's a ganef, that he's known to be a ganef, so the Gemara says, Kol Kamini is a believed. He's not believed. He's again biased in the testimony. So the Gemara answers, he's saying that this guy comes from an eved. He's disqualifying his family from being a witness. So therefore, this that he's disqualifying the witness is not something that's relevant to his case or any case. It's, generally speaking, this witness is not a kosher witness. And he has another witness backing him up. So then Rav Meir says, Haya mishpacha kamisade. He's not testifying against this particular witness. He's testifying against the guy's past family. Yichus. That the yichus, avodim, or not kosher people. So then Rav Meir holds, he's not biased. Because he's not testifying that this guy is no good. He's testifying the whole family is no good.
Inherently.
And Rabban and Savri and the Chachamim hold, no, he's not believed. Sof, sof, negeh beidu sehu. Any way you look at it, he's still partial because he's biased. He wants to disqualify the witness. Meaning like this. The Gemara, according to Rabbi Lozer's opinion, in Rav Meir, because Rav Meir said a very the Shlokas said, I didn't believe a holy mouth. Like Rav Meir says such a statement. Rav Meir says, if I have a court case with you, yeah, and I bring witnesses, you can disqualify him. So the Gemara says, that doesn't make sense. So the Gemara answered the various different answers. But Rav Lozer's answer is, Rav Meir is speaking, when does Rav Meir hold the litigant can disqualify the other guy's witness? When he's not testifying against the witness that he's no good. Because then obviously he's biased. And he's not believed. It's speaking, he's saying, this guy's family 5 generations ago was already disqualified.
Then what?
So Rav Meir says, I'm not testifying against this guy. I'm not disqualifying him as an individual. I'm disqualifying everybody, so I'm not biased.
I don't have anything against
And the Chachamim hold, bottom line is, by what you're saying, you're disqualifying him in your case against you. So that's what's called Negeh Beda, so you're not believed.
This way you can disqualify any witness.
No, not this way.
No, you have to, you're coming with another witness. That you can't just say, guy's an evid. You have to prove it. But once another witness comes and testifies the same thing, to then there's already in the air, there's a doubt.
Mamzer also?
No, Mamzer's a kosher witness.
Evel Ivri here?
Yeah, obviously.
So we all have Avadim.
to Hashem, but not that.
Really? What happens if
No, by the way, I'm sorry. Eved Kenani, it's not Eved Ivi. Eved Ivi is not disqualified.
Really?
What?
If somebody, in this case, 10 generations ago, somebody is nullified, then it carries all the way to here?
If somebody was a mamzer 10 generations ago, okay, let's not go that. 5 generations ago, a guy's a mamzer. His kids are mamzerim.
But, I mean, how about other cases? I mean, the guy was a gazlan. 10 generations.
No. Gazlan is a personal thing. It's not a blemish of the family. But an avid is a blemish of the family. That continues.
Heritage.
And that disqualifies you?
The kid's a mamzer. A mamzer is allowed to marry again. A geiris. Yeah?
But the kids are still
mamzerim. So all you're doing is multiplying mamzerim. Therefore, the Gemara says you shouldn't do it. But technically, what happens if a geiris cannot have any kids? Just overage. Yeah? Or whatever. She's barren. She can't have kids. Technically, a mamzer is allowed to marry her. I don't know if it's done in practice, but halachically, a mamzer can marry her.
Otherwise, a mamzer shouldn't marry any Jew.
No, because the kids are going to be a mamzer. No, the mamzer is not allowed to marry a Jew. That's clear. Yesterday, yeah.
A Jewish mamzer is not allowed to marry
a Jew.
Mm-hmm.
Right. This is the Yavam mamzer b'kal Hashem.
Who can marry?
Nobody. Stay single.
How could they go 3-4 generations back?
Huh?
They have three, I mean...
They had people. They had certain records, I guess.
Yeah, that they had.
If a mamzer marries another mamzer...
A mamzer can marry a mamzeris.
No. And the kid?
A mamzer. Mamzer.
It's not kosher?
No, it's a mamzer. A mamzer is a mamzer. He's a full-fledged Jew.
One of my friends in Yeshiva...
A Tamid Chacham mamzer is precedent over a Kohen Gadol and Amoretz.
One of my friends in Yeshiva was a Kohen.
Yeah.
Dated a girl. And they found out that she's a mamzer.
Oh. No.
And,
forget even a coin, even it's not a coin.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So they didn't marry and...
Right, she can get married. Okay.
Both of them.
It's not common, it's 5 months.
It's more common than you think. So we don't know about it.
They don't tell you.
Oh, it's probably because if a woman gets a divorce not the proper way, she marries another man.
If a woman had a kosher wedding... See, what they do today is try to passel the original conservative reform. The witnesses are not kosher. They'll do everything possible to disqualify the first wedding. But if the first wedding is kosher, an Orthodox wedding, okay, and the people are not from, a lot of non-from people have Orthodox weddings, right? And then they don't get a kosher get, or no get, and she remarries because of mamzerim.
Wow.
It's much more common than we think. We don't know about it. I mean, Rabbanim do know about it, but a lot of people just don't know about it because, you know, how do you know?
Woman slept with had relationships.
No.
And then she married.
No, that's not a mamzer.
What she had?
Woman had relationships
before she got married.
Before she got married.
Yeah, that's not a mamzer.
With a god.
So Cohen can't marry her, but the kid's not a mamzer. Even if a Kohen marries a woman that he's not allowed to, the kid's not a Kohen, but he's a cholol, but he's not a mamzer.
That makes him a zona.
Okay. There's another explanation for that mayor. How could a mayor say such a thing that one litigant just could disqualify somebody else's witnesses?
Torn doesn't. I've got lost in you. Could you say torn it and all that? The love brought somebody to disqualify the edim that the malva brought.
Yeah, the love together with somebody else disqualified the malva's witnesses.
And that creates an issue. What's the big deal?
So the mayor holds, he's believed.
Why should I be believed? There are kosher edim.
To disqualify him.
To disqualify the edim or
right.
Him?
No, the edim.
Okay, so what's wrong with that? Why do we...
How can a litigant disqualify...
How could the edim of the love disqualify...
No, it's not the edim of the love. The Lova himself with another guy are saying those Edom that he brought, they're not kosher. They're not saying anything about the case.
No,
so he himself is a part of it.
Right. That's the whole thing. That's what the mayor holds. Good morning. The mayor says the litigant can could disqualify the witness. So the Gemara says, how could you say such? Anyway, Davdimi says like this: in the name of Rabbi Yechon, when he came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, he said, "Machleikus, the argument between the mayor and the chachamim is b'shteki to edim." He says like this is another strange case. Okay, the malva, the lender, says, "I have two sets of witnesses to prove my case." That's what he says. Now, Peter, you only need one. But he says, I have two. And then he only brings one. Not one witness. Two sets, right? He says, I have four witnesses, two sets, that could testify you owe me the money. Leperl, he only brings one set. So what's the story? Rameir says, Sardach Levadin, you need to substantiate the case, okay, that he could bring it the way that he can produce a second set.
He's
okay.
Quote unquote lying.
Why?
He says I have two sets of witnesses, but he brings one.
Maybe he was honest. His intent was.
Says like this. When the guy says, "See, let me. I have to elaborate on this whole thing." We'll see in the Gemara. One opinion says, generally, that if a guy says, I have two sets of witness, he must produce both. Even though one set of witnesses is enough. But if the guy says in court, I have two sets of witnesses, and he only produces one, there's it's a questionable,
something's
wrong.
Not because of Nedarim.
So the mayor says like this. No, what a nether.
What if he says,
one second, let me just say a second.
No, he says,
if a guy says, so the mayor says like this, when a guy comes and says, I have two sets of witnesses, he must bring both. Therefore, if the litigant disqualifies one set, the set that he brings, okay, but the guy said, I have a second set, but he disqualifies Group A. So Rabbi Yechon says then he's not biased anymore. Because he's not testifying against the case because the guy has to bring the second prayer. And he's not disqualified in the second prayer. So he's really not biased in the case because whatever he says, whether those witnesses are good or not, the guy's still going to bring a second group of witnesses. And because the mayor holds that when a guy says, I have two, he must bring two. And if he doesn't bring both sets, he's no good. Now, the litigant says, if the malva, the lender, says, I have two sets of witnesses, and he brings one. The mayor says like this, you know what? The guy has to bring the second set for it to be valid. Because he said, I have two. Therefore, when the litigant, in that case, disqualifies that set that he brought,
the first set,
he's not really biased.
Who's
because,
biased?
The borrower. The lova is not. Why? Because the guy has to bring a second set. And he's not disqualifying the second set. And the second set itself would be a valid testimony because of two witnesses. Understand? So it's a crazy case.
The case would be dismissed.
Well, if the guy doesn't bring the second set.
The first set is they don't qualify.
By itself. Because the guy says, I have two sets of witnesses. Group A and Group B. So when Group A comes, it's not enough. He has to bring Group B. Now, if Group B comes, then the witnesses are kosher. Then the case is good. But the litigant in this case is disqualifying Group A. So Gemara's question, how can a litigant disqualify a group of witnesses? He's biased. Of course he wants to disqualify him. But in this case, there's no bias because the second group has to come and the second group would make the case happen.
Somebody's
got to
be out of his mind to say yeah.
Rabbanan Savri ain't a tzarich. Okay? And the Rabbanan hold, he doesn't have to bring the second set. Therefore, this one set is making the case happen. Right? Group A's testimony is making the case happen. So if the litigant disqualifies Group A, he's biased because now there's no case. Rameir says he has to bring Group B anyway. So when he disqualifies Group A, he's not a bias in the case because the case could happen anyway. Avol bebasachas. But if there's only one witness, in other words, the guy says, I have one group, and he brings one group, Everybody says he can't disqualify him. Even Rav Meir holds he can't disqualify him.
Why would you say you have two groups? You say I have four witnesses.
One group. No, he has to know, because then that's one group. I'll give you an example. There's a big difference between one group and two groups. One group of four, okay, let's say a guy says, I have four witnesses, not two and two. I have four witnesses. And he brings all four. Yeah? And you disqualify one, they're all not kosher.
If you disqualify one of those four?
Yeah.
Because you need only...
If one of the four is a relative.
But he still has two, at least two kosher.
The din is Eidah Shebatel Miksasa, Tzegzer Sakasa. Batel Kula. You disqualify part, you disqualify whole. But if the guy says, I have two sets of witnesses, this group and this group, and one of the group A is a relative to the other guy, so that disqualifies that group, but group B is a... We have learned many times, why by a chuppah, you designate Eidim. You designate, sometimes even at the exclusion of all others. I'll be there as long as you designate Eidim is good enough. But why do you say the exclusion of all others? The exclusion of all others. Because under the chuppah, you have a father standing there, and a brother standing there, and a relative standing there, and they're all watching it. And if they have a mind to testify, then the witnesses are not kosher. Because part of the testimony is not kosher. So when you designate, these are the only two that are witnesses, and nobody else is a witness, then they can't disqualify the testimony because they're not witnesses.
The group is a minimum of one or minimum of
group
two?
Group is two.
Two.
By money, to make a shvua
is one.
But that's it.
It has to be written down or verbally?
What?
You can designate...
No, what do you do by a chuppah? You verbally say.
No, you write it usually.
What do you write it?
They call on this.
You have a ketubah.
That's because the guy's a dodo. It doesn't remember anything.
If he says,
but if you call out witnesses... You say, like the Gemara says, the Gemara asks in Rosh Hashanah, a father and a son see the moon. Mm-hmm. Father and son go, Moshe and Aaron, brothers, yeah, walking in the street, they see the Levana. So if they both go to Beis Din, it's not going to be worth anything.
Even though they're Moshe and Aaron.
Yeah, they're still relatives. So what do they do? The Gemara says only one goes and the other one stays home.
Okay, no, I'm sorry. How do you designate? Just by calling them? Is
by verbally saying, you are the witnesses.
No, it's better to write. Because I know weddings that the family of the Khatan says, why did you call the family of
Kala
first? And they say, why did you call that one first?
No, this
well,
family is not a kosher
witness.
Yeah.
Even a distant relative
is
not a kosher witness.
No, distant al-Pidin is kosher. You don't do it. Yeah. Somebody asked me a question Friday. They have to do a wedding, Mitzvah Shabbos. Last night was out of town. And it's completely Freya people. There's no frum people. So the only other frum person there is a second cousin once removed.
One witness.
Second cut. No, but the rabbi is going to be a second witness.
Oh, I see.
The rabbi is going to be a witness, but the only other aide was a second cousin once he moved. So, but the evidence is a good witness. Because it's far. Cousins are not kosher witnesses.
First cousins
are not kosher witnesses. Technically, if two girls. Now, l'chadchili, you don't do all this. But let's say two girls are cousins. Yeah? Their husbands, because it's double, her husband and her husband, but the evidence they're kosher witnesses. L'chadchili, you don't do it. But l'chadchili, it's you don't see. For instance, one husband cannot testify with another person.
But in-laws?
Huh? In-laws not.
So what are you doing this?
You have to bring a kosher witness.
What are you witnessing? When you are chosen to be witness?
By a wedding? When he gives the ring.
That's all.
That's it.
You are not saying that they are kosher, they are not saying that they are Shomer Shabbat.
You're saying that I watched the act of the ring giving.
Going back to this, if I say I have 100 witnesses, I have to produce all 100?
According to that mayor.
The
mayor says, Tzarech Levarech.
What's the logic?
Because the fact that you said it in court, so basically you're messing yourself up because you're saying you have a valid proof that you really don't have. And once you say I have a very, very valid, even Al-Payidin, 2 and 100 are the same. Right? But you're saying not I have two. You're saying I have two sets of witnesses. So therefore, Beis Din says you automatically lose the case because you're not producing the witnesses that you said you have. Therefore, like you said, it's stupid for a guy to say I have two sets of witnesses.
You say I was exaggerating? Is that a good excuse?
There's no exaggeration in court.
I have 100 recommendations.
In court, you're not allowed to exaggerate. In court, you have to behave. I'll give you an example. If I come to you in the street and say, hey, you know you owe me $10,000, and you ignore me. You ignore me, just like look at me and laugh or whatever. Yeah, that's not an admission. Yeah? But if I tell you in court you owe me $10,000 and you're quiet, that's admission.
For that building?
What's it called?
For that building.
No.
Shtika
kahida, dummy. Shtika is kahida. But it depends where. In a court, you can't say, oh, courts don't go for that. They say,
yes or no.
Yes or no. Don't exaggerate. If a guy is silent in court, the guy says, you owe me $10,000. The guy's silent. Bezin says, pay. But in the street, the guy ignores you. That's not the shtika kahida. I mean, it depends. It's in court. You can't just, oh, I have 1,000 witnesses. Bezin's going to say, then bring them. And the guy's going to mess himself up.
But that's not according to
Rabbi. No, right. According to Chacham, you don't have to do it.
But that case of the wedding that you said, isn't it better not to have a witness so it's not a kosher wedding? I mean, there is no frum people. I mean, Lamassel, this situation.
Lamassel, some people want to say that nowadays, but we don't do that. Some people want to say, that an Orthodox rabbi, they do this in Bebe, the Litvisher, they do this. It's all question of the Bechlal in these things today.
They want to say what?
A lot of people want to say, if it's not a frum couple,
yeah,
you shouldn't do a kosher wedding.
Right, exactly.
Why? Because 50% chance of divorce in America, and the chances they won't get a get, a proper get. Right? So you create a mamzerim. The same thing. So nowadays, and the Rabbanim possibly this now, they don't know what our opinion is. Some do, some don't, even Chabad. But if a non-religious Jew has a bris and Shabbos, yeah, and you know there's going to be tons of chilul Shabbos, everybody's going to drive, everybody, the pictures, you know, everything's going to go on. So many poskim say you push off the bris to Sunday.
It's better to do.
Yeah, because this is your mevatel mitzvah sasei.
We do that now.
Some people, a lot of people do it today. Yemavato mitzvah sasei. There is a mitzvah every day that you don't do a bris, you transgress a positive mitzvah. But like this, Yechilu Shabbos.
Right.
I mean, under the chuppah. Not stepping off the
chuppah. Sing it or say it. Depends the voice that you have.
No, when she hands the ring to the...
That's a shaila in itself.
What? You said before, it's not...
I don't understand the question.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
Double ring ceremony.
Oh, yeah. Double ring. Or nullifies it.
Well, it's a shayla, doesn't nullify it.
Then don't do it.
Why? So...
Why? Because then she thinks she's Mekadeshim.
Yeah. She's doing the kinyan now.
She doesn't think about kinyan, she just thinks about giving a gift.
No. She thinks that he acquires me, I acquire him.
Yeah.
What's the problem then?
Because Al Pidin, he's Mekadeshur, she's Mekadeshim, that shows that he's not Mekadeshur.
If he did it anyways, he was
Mekadeshur. It's not so simple. So what? Sometimes I tell guys they could do it all the way at the end, right before they break the glass, because then the Chol Chup is over, so the marriage is over. Then before they break the glass, he could say, could do, if you have to do it, you try to avoid it. Let them do it in the Yichud room.
And they like it. They like that the girl should say
Hariyatu. No, they don't say. Those are the real liberals. But they say Anila Daydi. But in her mind, it could be a concept of Kedushin.
He said gift. If she thinks gifts, she's given a gift off the chuppah, stepping out of the chuppah.
No, it's over the chuppah. Okay.
So, with all this said and done, the wedding should not, non-frum shouldn't be...
Right, exactly.
Yeah, with the ring issue and the witnesses and not being Shomer Shabbos, it's better if they are not having a...
If they're not Shomer Shabbos and their relatives, it's anyway not good.
No, I mean, just the rabbi being called saying there is a one removed cousin to...
I'll tell you a very common shaila that I get. I mean, the issue, yeah? The family belongs to conservative, okay? But the kids want more of Orthodox. Okay, so he said, maybe you can arrange at least under the chuppah they should have Orthodox witnesses. Now, the conservative rabbi is doing it, but maybe we should arrange that for the Kedushin there should be kosher eidus.
But the chassan and kallah, they are frum.
They're not so frum.
But they want to be.
If they're frum, they tell their parents, go somewhere. Right, like typical frum kids do. No, but I'm saying they think, okay, let's make kosher witnesses on the Kedushin. I tell them they shouldn't do it.
No.
It makes it worse. Because let's say 10 years from now, yeah, they're going to get divorced. So the rabbis will check into it, and she gets married, right? Rabbis will check. Who did the wedding? A conservative rabbi. Okay, so it's not kosher.
But the witnesses.
But it is kosher.
Because they didn't make the
wedding. They didn't make the wedding. So like this, by conservative, everybody says, and do you think they're going to remember to say, no, we got Orthodox kosher? They're not going to say that. They're going to do whatever is good for them. So it's better not to do it. If they want to make a separate chuppah, not a separate kedushin, away from the chuppah, you know, separately, with rewriting the ksuba and the kedushin, okay, that's good. Because at least they know that then they had a kosher thing.
They could do it before then. Yeah.
But not at the time when the people see conservative rabbi, and they won't know.
Hi.
How about
the
delivery here?
Bring it in.
Here?
Oh,
yeah.
The other door. The other door.
All right, good.
Must be a Jew when they knock.
Yeah, I've been waiting for him. I'm hungry.
Rabbi, if you said a phone call, it happened to him, then two absolutely liberal Jews, they are not kosher.
Two men or two women?
No. They want you to become a witness. Should you accept it?
He said he shouldn't try.
We learned before in the Gemara says you're not allowed to testify unless if you know who the other witness is. We learned that in Gemara, you know.
If the rabbi, one of them, he's okay.
They want you to be a witness. It depends who's doing the wedding. Well, you know.
I don't know. They just.
Well, you have to ask who's doing the wedding, who's the other witness, you know.
And then you ask the shayla.
No, then you don't do it.
Rabbi, then he's still on
there. Rabbi, Shomer Shabbat makes it for sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Only Shomer Shabbat?
No, it depends if he's a Ganef. You know Ganef.
No, I mean, normal.
Like Madoff. Even if he's Shomer Shabbos, he wouldn't be a kosher witness.
Was he Shomer Shabbos?
No, but he's saying even if he was.
Shomer Shabbos, you know, they don't keep Tahara Mishpacha, they don't keep
Kosher. I mean, l'chatchila, you don't take such a witness.
I understand,
but the bottom line is Shomer Shabbos.
In this area, the definition of a kosher witness is just Shomer Shabbos, not the other two.
Rabbi, the kissing before the chuppah, what do you do?
Shoot him.
No, really. To
forewarn
them, don't do that.
Okay, let's go back to it. We're not learning weddings now. We're learning dentatus. So Rav Ami and Rav Asi said before Rav Dimi. Rav Dimi came in from Eretz Yisrael and said the name of Rav Yechanan that, you know, if the guy says I have second set, does he have to bring it or not, that whole thing. So he said, Ein shem alakat achas mahu. What has the din if the guy says I only have one group of witnesses? Can the litigant disqualify it? So Gemara right away asks, we just said, we just said one group. If a guy says one group, the litigant can't disqualify. What's your question? So he says like this. Alanim says, the question is like this. The first litigant gave two sets of witnesses, okay? Then the second one was also disqualified because of relatives. Mahu, what's the din? In other words, the case is like this. The first group comes and testifies. The litigant disqualifies him. Okay? So he said, Rav Meir holds, it's still good because the second group is still going to be kosher. But then you find out that the second group are relatives. So the question is, now that when he said the first case, the litigants are making the case happen, so maybe he can't disqualify them now, retroactively. He's disqualifying the first set, right? And Rameh says, you believe him because there's a second set. But the truth is, the second set is not kosher. So now the question is, does Rameh hold that, because the bottom line is, he did disqualify them before the second group came. He was able to disqualify them, Rav Meir holds, because the second group is coming. Right? But now that the second group comes and they're disqualified, does that retroactively undo what he did in the first place?
It's past. It's already done. Okay.
Amalehen, Krahidu Edom Rishenim. Okay. They already testified. So therefore, once they're disqualified. Finished. Ikadami wasn't Ravami. Ravasi is Ravashi said, Krahidu Edom, they already testified. Okay. Meaning like this. He said, the fact that they became disqualified, okay, they're disqualified already.
What if they flipped?
What flipped? Then you don't have
the
a case anyway.
The second group comes in.
And?
He disqualifies the second group that are...
Relatives?
Relatives.
They're self-disqualified. You don't have to disqualify.
Right, self-disqualified.
What do you see?
The second group
comes
in and they're okay.
Yeah, but then Rav Meir holds it for sure. You cannot disqualify them because they make the case. They're making the case happen. Okay. So the Gemara asks a question like this: name of a plukta the Rebbe Rav Shimon Gamliel Kamefligid. Maybe there's an argument between this argument between Rav Meir and the Chachamim, which you can disqualify witnesses or not, is the argument of Rebbe and Rav Shimon Gamliel. What's the case? The Tanya that we learned in the Brisa like this. Okay, let me go into the case like this. What? No, they have to do. We should be quiet. Food's more important. They're setting up the food. What's wrong with you?
Food is important.
Very important. Ain't kemach, ain't teira. No food, no teira. Okay, there's a din like this. If a guy was called Cheska Sabatin, yeah? The whole third pack of Bob Basra. Very basic.
Yeshivish.
Very yeshivish. Okay. A guy finds somebody living in his house or field for 3 years. He says, what are you doing here?
Squatter.
He says, what do you mean? I bought it from you. And the guy says, where's the deed? Prove it. So the din is, after 3 years, people don't keep deeds. So therefore, the din is, if he could prove that he was there for 3 years, he could prove by witnesses that he was there for 3 years living in the field or in the house, whatever, it's his.
Civil law.
I don't care about civil law right now.
No, it is. No, in the
okay, so who cares? What do you think they got
safety,
it from?
Yeah,
from
yeah,
now,
from
one second.
Yeah? Moshe.
But that's only, as if Dr. Pix know what they're talking about. That's only if the guy says, or I'll give you another example. What happens if a guy says, if somebody's living in a guy's house or field for 3 years, he said, what are you doing? He said, I don't know, it was empty, I came in. So then it's worthless. It's worthless. You have to have a taina. I bought it. Where's the document? So the Gemara explains in Cheska Sabatim, the third paragraph of Baal Basra, that people only hold on to documents for 3 years.
Can't you say I did that such as Beit Din, and they go check out the...
Well, obviously, if there's proof that he has it, the guy has a deed, there's no
it's
question.
Finished.
Okay? But the case is, when a guy lives in somebody else's field or house for 3 years, and he has no proof, he has no deed, and he says, though, why don't I have a deed? Because I lost it. He says, you sold it to me, or you gave it to me as a gift. Not Stamazay, I happened to see an empty field, so I moved in.
No.
That's no good.
If somebody uses an area for 3 years, he uses, Stam uses it.
And the owner later, after 3 years, comes and says, what are you doing in my land?
He said, I've been using it for the last 3 years.
That's Torah law, that's worthless. It's Chazaka Sheini Mataina. A chazak that doesn't have a taina with it, meaning that something concrete, they'd say you sold it to me, or you gave it to me, or you rented it, or whatever.
But why is your law? It's not like that. They actually.
So they got it wrong.
Have it.
If the owner is out of town for 3 years, going in trip.
So he has to find out, the Gemara says, that's the whole discussion. People know that a chazak, so the guy was supposed to protest. Even if he's out of the country, as long as he protests once during the 3 years, it nullifies it. You have to start all over again the 3 years.
So Muslim, all the Muslims that took all belonging in Iran, they
is they are they right? They
because
right.
We ran away.
They right?
And they
no.
They right? Yeah.
No, you
deeds.
Say they stole it from us.
They didn't have any deeds. You have to have
you
claim of a deed.
3 years, you cannot have the deed.
No,
but they say what they say. You sold it to me.
No.
Yeah, they lied.
No.
They built. Yeah, they built created. It.
The question, by the way, that's only by land, not by metaltolin.
Yeah,
it's sold in a chazaka, it's only by land.
Talking about all the Persian land.
You're talking about land, Rabbi.
No. But people protested within the 3 years.
Yeah, but they don't have deeds. They just say, you guys were not here, it belongs to us.
No, but you didn't protest privately.
No. You can't. No.
But this is Torah.
You are not here
according to the civil law, we should have it. No?
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Get it, therefore you get it. There's a din, by the way.
The picture of it.
You know, Jewish law is a little racist. Yeah. But Jewish law says you can take a guy, if it's beneficial, take him to court. You're allowed to take a guy to court if it's beneficial for you. If it's beneficial, take him to Beis Din. You can take him to Beis Din. Whoever is beneficial for you.
You can't take him to court now.
Take it to the world court.
No, you can't. To the world court. In fact, if Congress passes a law, you can claim.
Yeah. As if they're going to listen.
But they since they don't have it, deed, it doesn't make any.
They can freeze their assets.
A picture of the land here. Yeah.
They don't claim that they have a deed. They say, you guys were not here. We built on it, so it belongs to us. So, according to Jewish law.
Oh, 1 second. That's a different type of a chazak already. That's a different story. Of course, you did create
it. So, a building chazak is a different from just.
Chazak building is a way to acquire it. Chazakah is not an acquiring. Chazakah of 3 years just validates the fact that you don't have the shtar, the deed. But if I say to you, go acquire my land, I want to sell you land, how do you acquire it? Kesef, shtar, or chazakah? The Gula and the Kedusha. Money, document, a deed. Or chazakah means you do things in the field that show ownership. You put a fence around it, you build a building. Things that show, that's the kinyan. Here we're not talking about the kinyan.
I know, here but we're the talking 3 years. The 3 years. If you build something on the land, for 3 years you are living in it.
If the guy is merchit still, he can protest. Because he never told you to make a kinyan. See, the case is getting late. The case over here, though, Gemara says like this. A guy says, the occupant of the land, yeah? The owner comes and says, hey, guy, what are you doing in my land? So he says, I have a shtar, and I was here 3 years. He says, both. I have a deed, and I was here 3 years. Okay? So the question is like this. Habali dem b'shtar chazaka. This is what, what's his name says. The Braisa says like this. Tanya says in the Braisa says this. Habali dem b'shtar chazaka. An occupant of the property comes and says, listen, I have a deed, and I have a chazaka 3 years. The din is, what do we look at?
B'shtar.
So it says, Nidim Bishtar Divrei Rebbe. Rebbe says you deal with the document. Because document is really a proof of ownership more than Chazakah. Chazakah is not a proof of ownership. Chazakah is that you believe to say, I lost the document. But it's not a proof. Deed is a... And Reb Shimon Gamliel says, Nidim Bechazakah. He's judged only by the Chazakah, not by the deed. So in the case 1 second. Vavinam Baal... Chazakah v'lei b'shtar? You're telling me you judge him by the chazakah, not by the, what's better than the deed?
Yeah, exactly.
So Gemara says, okay? So therefore, the Gemara says, we judge him also by chazakah, meaning like this. If a guy comes and says, I was in the land 3 years, and they come to him and say, what are you doing? He says, I have a shtar and a chazakah. So according to the mayor, what does Beis Din care about? The shtar, not the chazakah. Okay, Reb Shimon Gamliel says no, both. You need both. Okay, now listen carefully. If you go by both, then even if he disqualifies the witnesses on the shtar, he still has the chazaka.
It's not both.
No, Reb Shimon Gamliel says ab bechazaka means shtar and chazaka.
So it's no good. It's still
no. So then, if you disqualify the witnesses. Yeah?
The
then you're left with the chazaka.
But chazaka alone is not good.
Chazaka is good.
Alone?
Again, if the guy says afterwards, I don't have the document, I lost it.
Case closed.
Then he has it.
If he says I have both, didn't we require him to.
No, that's by two sets of witnesses. No, there's not a man. This is Rabbi and Reb Shimon Gamliel. It's a different argument.
If you have chazaka, you don't need witnesses anymore.
No, in the case of Kedushin.
You don't need witnesses.
Yeah, but the guy says, I have a shtar, I have the deed, and I have a chazak. I was there for 3 years.
In the case of Kiddushin, shtar and the relationship, they have the shtar, and then they had a
relationship. No, it's not the shtar. Right now we're learning.
One more minute.
Two more minutes. No, we'll see if they want to set up the tables, then we'll go upstairs. Otherwise, we'll stay here.
You said Tachnun, by
the way. You're fools.
I know we're fools, but we
if there's a bris in a shul, you don't say Tachnun.
But there was nobody.
It doesn't matter. If there's a bris in the shul, Beis HaKnesset Sheyesh Beimila, if there's a shul that has a bris, that day Shachrit, Mincha you say, Shachrit you don't say, even if nobody's there.
Now you have to do another one for doing it.
No, they have to fast 40 days. Okay.
Shkoyah.